If you got your Bible, I want you to open up to Ephesians chapter 1. I see Melody and Starla back there. Every time I open up to Ephesians, I think of my brother Ray. He would come, I would have him come as I taught the class, towards the end of the class, and he would dress up like the Apostle Paul. And he would, as Paul, would quote the book of Ephesians in dramatic fashion. And it was powerful. It just wasn't a drama. It was anointed of God. And now he's met Paul probably already. And as he's there with the Lord, and so keep praying for the Benintendi family. But thank God. Thank God we know. Right? We know the future. There's no sting in death. There's no victory in the grave because of Jesus, because of that blood. But every time I go to think of Ephesians, I think of that. So, hallelujah. I want to look tonight at something from the prayer of the Apostle Paul here in Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to read, the first verse 17 through 20 tonight. It says here, I'm reading from the King James, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believed, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought, or which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, here, this prayer, as we've been taught here, Brother Hagin taught us so well, that this is a prayer that every Christian can pray for themselves, as well as you can pray this prayer for any Christian. The book of Ephesians is written to the saints and the faithful in Christ specifically, and that includes all, but all the letters of the New Testament, from Romans, of course, the book of Acts also, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are historical books of what happened. And then from Romans through Revelation are written to the church for us now because of what Jesus has done. What do we do? And what do we have because of that? Well, here, as he prays this in verse 17, you know, all of us could pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto me, make it personal to yourself, give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened. Here in verse 18, he says, a lot of translations say it this way. I'm reading from the Amplified here. The classic says, but having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, flooded with light. The New Amplified Version says that the eyes of your heart, the very center and core of your being, may be enlightened, flooded with light by the Holy Spirit. The enlightening of our eyes, that light coming on, that light, the light of the 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, that light. Now, you know, some of us that remember when cartoons were real. What I mean by real, not that stuff they have on today. I'm talking about the Roadrunner and the Wile E. Coyote. Now, come on now. I'm talking about real cartoons. You know, I'm talking about the type that you got up to make sure on Saturday morning you were up at 8 o'clock. You're up. You're watching those cartoons, all right? Amen. I'm not talking about this stuff they have on now. I'm talking about real cartoons, you know? All right? When the real, you know, real Bugs Bunny and the real Roadrunner and the Wile E. Coyote. That was my favorite, was the Roadrunner and the Wile E. Coyote. The Roadrunner, ain't nobody ever been as cool as the Roadrunner in the history of the world. And that dude, I mean, he is cool, but that Wile E. Coyote, he was hungry. And I don't know what he ate, but he never ate the Roadrunner, right? But, you know, they would have in that cartoon, and used to be, you know, if someone got an idea or they had, the light bulb would go on, remember? Now, you don't want that type of revelation like the coyote had, you know. His things never worked. But this, our heart flooded with light carries with it this idea that the light goes on. And so when the light goes on, You've heard Pastor talk about it. I've been in this auditorium when all the doors were shut and the lights are off. Any of you ever been here? How many of you? It's dark in here. And I don't know, I don't care how many times I've come out, walked down those steps and come around there, or how many times I've been in here. You got to find some light somehow. And you can sit in here for a long time and wait for your eyes to adjust, but those little red signs on the exit back there doesn't light up very much. It's dark, but thank God when the light goes on. When the light goes on, you can move with accuracy. You can move with direction. You can get where you need to go. And so he talks about this, that our eyes or our understanding would be enlightened. Now, one of the keys here to me is this idea that of a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I want to talk tonight about revelation knowledge, and specifically how that there are so many things. Now, he lists three things there. He talked about the hope of his calling. He talked about the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints and the exceeding greatness of his power. In other words, what's the greatness of his resurrection power to us who believe? All those things. Now, it's hard to find any New Testament subject that's not found in those three areas. I mean, when you get to talking about the hope of his calling, what has God summons us to do? What's his hope? And then the riches of the glory of his inheritance. We could spend till Jesus comes back talking about our inheritance. You know, the Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ, joint identical heirs with him. We have the same inheritance that he had. Because why? He became like us. He identified with us, and we identified with what he did, and he became like us, and we have an identical inheritance with Jesus. Now, you can't figure that out in your mind. That takes wisdom and revelation that comes from God. Now, revelation, it comes from the word revealed, right? Now, you know, how many of you used to watch Let's Make a Deal? You ever watch Let's Make a Deal? Had the three curtains, right? And somebody had won something, but now they have the opportunity to trade it all in. Choose a curtain. Behind one curtain, you know, you never knew there might be a jalopy behind that curtain, right? There might be there might be a new car behind that curtain, right? All those things. But you didn't know until, now, it was already behind there, but until they moved the curtain, it wasn't revealed. Revelation knowledge is not something new. Some people act like revelation knowledge is something that God doesn't even know. Revelation knowledge is just God revealing something to you that he is, or that he's already done, or that he's wanting to do. It's revealed to us. It's not like it's a secret that no one's ever thought of this before. You know, I'm kind of leery. I hear people say sometimes, you know, I've got something new. Well, new to who? That's the question I got to ask. I got to ask myself that question. You know, if I'm the only one seeing this or preaching this, why? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Revelation. Now, this revelation that we're talking about, something revealed, is something that is revealed from God. Go with me over to Matthew chapter 16, please. Start in verse 13, Matthew 16 and verse 13. But he prays. See, Paul had seen some things. You remember Paul, no one taught Paul what he preached. He received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. There wasn't anybody to teach Paul. Now, God had always been, and everything that Paul preached, God had been and had done and was doing. And will do. But no one else was preaching that. And so God revealed it to Paul. And he knew something about revelation. Now I want you to see something here. Matthew 17, verse 13. I'm sorry, 16, verse 13. I looked up here and top of my page at 17. So I just parroted that. Sorry. 16, 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say you are John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Now, you know, there's a lot of people that say that today. You know, there's groups of people, religious groups, that say that Jesus was a prophet. You know, he was the prophet. Was he Son of God? Well, no. Well, you know, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. All right? Now, you can twist words any way you want. He called himself the Son of God. He claimed to be the Son of God. So either he is the Son of God or he's a liar. Now, I'm not following any prophet that's a liar. Are you? No. No. Amen. But let's keep reading here. And he said, but whom do you say that I am? And I think that's the question every person who ever has taken breath on this earth must answer. Who do you say that Jesus, the Son of Man, is? All right. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, Simon, blessed are you. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonas, Simon, son of Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Where did this knowledge come from? Where did Peter get this information that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God? Jesus said to him, that came not from flesh and blood, or as some other translations say, it didn't come from any man. It didn't come from any human. The English Revised Version says, no one taught you that. My Father in heaven showed you who I am. Amen. The Good News Bible said, for this truth did not come to you from any human being, but it was given to you directly by my Father in heaven. Now in King James it says, has revealed it unto you. But my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed it. And in verse 18, he went on and said, and I say also unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. I want you to notice something. And here's the great truth about it. When it's revealed to you who Jesus is, when you find out who Jesus is, then God will tell you who you are. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, and you're Peter. He was Simon. His name was Simon, son of Jonah. That was his name. But he said, you are a piece of the rock. But upon this rock, rock of what? Revealed knowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's the great thing. When we find out, when we get revealed knowledge, when it's revealed to us by God and through his word, who Jesus is and what God did through Jesus, what he did in his death, burial, resurrection, his ascension at the right hand of God. When we find out what his inheritance is, then we know who we are. Hallelujah. You see, Pastor preached so great this morning about faith and being a champion of faith. In order to do that, you have to know who you are. You have to know who God has made you to be, right? You have to know these things. And so he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. I like the Living Bible also. Let me see if I can find it on. He said, verse 7, God has blessed you, Simon, son of Jonah. Jesus said, for my Father in heaven has personally revealed this to you. This is not from any human source. So Paul said, pray to God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of glory, that he would give unto you. You, I wish it said ye, because it's easy to say ye means me. But to give unto you, each one of us as a Christian, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And that our hearts and literally our understanding would be flooded with light. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I quoted it, but I want you to look at something there. Now, how many of you realize there's a lot of things in life we don't know how to do or don't know? Do you know we can pray this and expect to get the answer? James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Asking God for wisdom. Wisdom, spirit of wisdom, saying the same thing in Revelation. We can ask God. You know, like I said, I think everything pretty much fits in the hope of his calling. But you can get specific with it. Specific with it. We were, man and I just this, was it last weekend? Seems like a long time ago. Last weekend we did a seminar at my brother-in-law and sister's church up in Illinois. And I taught on this, but we were teaching on, and we prayed that God would give us revelation concerning his will on how to receive and live in divine healing and health. Revelation concerning that. And so we were after something specific, revelation concerning that. We saw people. I mean, we didn't lay any hands on anybody until Sunday morning. Friday night, people got healed. And we had people healed. We had people healed on Friday night that walked in with a cane, bent over, and left dragging it out. Didn't need it anymore, just dragging it. I mean, it was hilarious to watch them just dragging the cane out. I told the two of them, I said, we're going to have a cane fight Sunday morning. Bring your cane, and we'll get you up there. But they didn't need it. They didn't even need their cane anymore. Nobody laid hands on them. Healed. Why? Got revelation. Revelation acted upon will bring the results. I'll say this to you also. I think it's something to think about. Really, you cannot believe God beyond the revealed will of God that you know. Brother Hagin said, you can't believe God beyond actual knowledge. Knowledge of what? The knowledge, wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Him. So faith is based upon revelation. How many of you, you know, we don't have to understand necessarily everything. You can have faith in your heart and doubt in your head. Aren't you glad? I'm glad I don't have to figure it out all up here. Not going to happen. Somebody said, well, that's a gray area with God. No, it's not with God. The gray area is right between these ears, right up here. It's called a brain, and I'm not figuring it all out with God there. I have to get it by revelation. But here, when the revelation comes, the light goes on. Now, here in 2 Corinthians 4, he's talking about preaching the gospel. He had talked about in chapter 3 how that Moses came down from the mountaintop and had those two tablets of stone. And they said his face was so shining, they asked him to put a veil over his face because they couldn't. It was too bright, too bright. And he said, he takes that as a word picture and says, that veil is still there when people read the Old Testament today. But in Christ, it's done away with. Look what it says here in chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice that. That light, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. God is light. The Bible says, in Him, there is no darkness at all. When God came in Genesis 1 and saw the darkness upon the face of the deep, God said, light be, and light was. And science, even today, they can't figure it out because light is still being. The universe is expanding at the speed of light. They can't figure it out. God is light. He is life. That light goes on. Keep reading here. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The gospel brings light. The word of God brings light. There is revelation knowledge and revelation light and revelation power in every word of God. I heard someone say this recently, I had never thought about it, but it is so true, that there's just as much power in the word about the event as there is the event that happened in the Bible. There's just as much power. How many people have received their healing by hearing the preaching of the woman that had the issue of blood? Why? The same power that was on Jesus when she touched him and went into her is in those words. And when Jesus said, your faith has made you whole, the same, as he spoke to that woman, that same statement can be made to you, your faith can make you whole. Why? The power is there. The light is there. But in order to act upon it, we have to have the revelation. Now, look over in so much there. Look in Romans chapter 10. Here's something interesting. I want to tie something together here. And I'm not doing this to be cute because we are called Rhema. There's a revelation that needs to be known, that needs to come out about this word Rhema. It's out, but that we need to have, is what I'm saying. We all need to understand it. Now, here in Romans chapter 10. He said there basically, you know, faith doesn't say in verse 6 and 7, he said, faith doesn't say, well, I've got to ascend to heaven to bring Christ down to get my need met. Or it doesn't say, I got to go, Christ has to be raised again from the dead. No, faith doesn't say that. It says it's already. But what does faith say? Look at verse 8. But what does it say? The word. Now that is the word rhema there. The rhema is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, the rhema of faith, which we preach. The difference, the big difference between a rhema word, which is translated word, and a logos, which means, logos also means not just written, it means spoken also. But the difference is, rhema comes by revelation. It comes straight from God. And a lot of times, it's for you at this moment. It's not the overall word, it's the word specific to your situation right now. How many of you would like to have the rhema concerning your situation right now? Well, Paul prayed that we would have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It's not a secret to God. It's hidden from us. But he said we should pray and ask God for it. The God of glory. Well, I mean, we could spend hours and hours talking about the glory of God. The light of the glorious gospel. When you get the glory, you get the light. That's why I say go to God, the God of glory. Amen. Now here in this same chapter now, in verse 13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and how many of you, well, Craig's doing it now, but Brother Hagin used to do, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. He'd say it so many times it aggravated you, because then you get it. And hearing by the rhema of God. Faith comes when you get revelation. Now, when Jesus appeared to his disciples, John talks about in his gospel, he told them all, look at my hands, look at my side. They touched him. But Thomas wasn't there, was he? Now, Thomas gets a bad rap, you know. But he wasn't there. So he basically said, I won't believe until I can put my hands in. And so Jesus shows up. What's he do? He says, look, Thomas, here I am. Touch me. Touch me. Do that. And he fell down and said, my Lord. And he said, Thomas, you're blessed. He said, but blessed are those who believe but have not seen. Blessed are those. See, there's a greater revelation from God's word than actually being able to reach out and touch Jesus with your hand. It's a revelation of God, from God to you. All right? Now, look at verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, the sound went unto all the earth, and the rhema unto the ends of the world. See, what should we all be preaching? What should we all be saying? The rhema word of God. Preach what's been revealed to you. Preach the gospel. Preach that, because it is full of revelation. That's why it's important. Now listen, when you come to church, how many of you here are Christians? All right? When you come to church, don't just come to take up place in the pew. Come expecting revelation. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed what you'll hear. Not just from the pulpit, but on the inside. On the inside. Sometimes, you know, people wonder why sometimes you take little trails this way and that way, and you don't really, you're just following the leading of the Lord as you minister. But people, and I've been sitting in a congregation, I've been sitting in classroom when the word of God's being preached, and all of a sudden something I've been asking about, something I've been wondering about and studying about, the statement is made and that answers it right there. And it wasn't even anything to do with what they were talking about. At least I didn't put two and two together. But then I've sat there other times and everything they said just went whoo, right over my head. I didn't understand a thing they said. Now here's the thing about revelation. I will tell you, revelation is progressive. If you don't act on the revelation you have now, you're not going to get any more. You'll get revealed. Hey, go back and act on what I told you. Do you know every time you're led by the Spirit of God, it's something revealed from God to you? Yeah, it's a revelation. It's a rhema word of God. Praise the Lord. Now, look over here in, Luke chapter 4. Are you doing all right? So in thinking about some things, we need to be asking God for spirit of wisdom and revelation concerning how to walk in financial riches. And when I say riches, don't put a money target on there, but financial riches means full supply. How do I do that, God? Amen. There's a better way than just barely getting by. Jesus didn't come so we just barely get by. All right. Well, how about revelation concerning, relationships? Revelation concerning healing? Revelation concerning just any area of life? Glory to God. Now, here in Luke chapter 4, verse 1 says, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Now in Matthew chapter 3 and in Luke chapter 3, as you back up, you find out that when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, remember, when he came up out of the water, the Bible says they saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice which came from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, he's tired, he's hungry. 40 days, all right? How many of you know people that 40 minutes, if they haven't eaten, they're tired and don't point at anybody, that's all right. But the devil said to him, if you be the Son of God. Now, here's the thing. The devil's always gonna question your revelation. He's always gonna come to get it, because if he can take it, because revelation is like a seed. Boy, if it starts to grow and it digs down, the roots dig down. See, Paul prayed that we would know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that we would know the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, that we would know that love. See, that's a revelation of that love. Not just that you were loved, but you are loved right now. That we would know that love. And that would be the root system of our life. Well, if I'm your enemy, I'm going to try to get that seed as soon as it's planted. I don't want it to grow. Have you ever tried to dig trees? They got these big machines now that come down. But I'm talking about trying to pull a bush out. I mean, a bush has sometimes got more underground than it does on top. Man, my cousins and I, we hooked up tractors and chains and everything we could trying to pull this fence row out. And these things were, they looked dead on the outside, but I'm telling you, they did not want to come out. We would just keep adding weight to the front of the tractor because it's standing up like this as you're trying to take off. Because it did pull, boom, it hit that thing. So we decided, we'd burn them out. No, you can't burn them out. It didn't matter how much, the roots, you couldn't get to the roots. Finally, they had to bring a big old thing and knock them out. So they could rebuild a fence. So you knock that fence out, the natural fence, a bit anyway. But we did it. But look what it says in verse 4. You ready? And Jesus answered, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, every rhema of God. Revelation knowledge, the rhema word, is what we live our life by. Because the just shall live by faith, and you're not going to have faith beyond revelation. I know all kinds of people that read the Bible all the time. They read the Bible. They read it all the time. They're not getting any faith out of it. Why? They never stay with it till something's revealed. They just read it. You can't beat them at Bible trivia. They will destroy you at Bible trivia. Amen. I know people like that. They know, they have memory, they know, they could list all the kings of Israel in order. Yeah, they'll just destroy you. They get an Old Testament, you might as well just give up. but they don't have any faith. Oh, they're born again, but that's as far as it's ever gone. And they're letting life happen to them instead of reigning in life by the grace of God, see? We're told to reign in life. So we're to live by this word. So when we're praying for spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, that our eyes of our heart will be flooded with light, what God's going to give you is a rhema word, a word that's from Him. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're blessed. That revelation always brings a blessing with it. You're always blessed to receive revelation. Now, again, walk in it. Walk in it. In other words, what would act upon the revelation that you have. And as you act upon the revelation that you have and you stay faithful to it and you stay true to it, then more revelation is going to come. More revelation is going to come. It's progressive. God is progressive in these things. The whole Bible is a progressive revelation of Him and who He is, who Christ is, right? It's a progressive revelation. You start in Genesis 1, you're going to move on. There's some things aren't even mentioned in some of those old, but in the New Testament we see revelation of it, all right? But it's going to be the same way in our life. But as we're praying these prayers, when we were so encouraged, you know, Brother Hagin consistently encouraged us to pray that prayer for you. Pray it. Now listen, not just every once in a while, daily. And probably more than once or twice a day, daily. Father, I come to You in the name of Jesus. You're the God of my Lord Jesus Christ. You're the Father of glory. I pray that You would give me spirit. And I pray that for our student body here all the time. I pray that before I minister. I prayed it for you tonight. That you would have that God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. That as we talk about this, the hope of His calling would come in clearer to you. That you wouldn't know what God's called you to do. That you'd know your inheritance in Christ. And that you'd know that greatness of that power to us. And that's in you, according to Ephesians 3. That resurrection power that's in us. Amen. I don't want to get to heaven and have walked around with the power of God on the inside of me and done nothing with it. I want, Lord, how reveal to me, how do I put it into practice in this situation? How do I minister to this one in this situation? How do I take what You've done for me and help this person with it? It takes revelation to do that. But He wants us to have it, or He wouldn't have told us to pray for it, right? Amen. Father, we just thank You in the mighty, precious name of Jesus. Your word, Father God, Your word is revelation. Your word is rhema unto us. But thank You, Father God, that it's not just the entirety, thank God for it, of the entirety of the word, but it's not just that. It's that specific word that brings us to the place of victory in the moment. Father, I thank You. I thank You, Father God, for giving that to us. We give You all the honor and all the praise for it in Jesus' mighty name.